Brother Rick. By the way, that song, Living by Faith, is one of my favorite hymns. Good morning. How is everyone doing today? It's hard to believe that we've been here in the area, here around the church, almost 8 weeks. And I'm so glad we're coming to a vote soon. It's been hard to get Michelle to stay on her best behavior this long. So good to be here this morning. She was giving me a hard time the other day. She said, sweetheart, you've told that story before last week, but you really have told it better. So I have another story. So I typed it out this week. So see if I do a better job. I wanted to share a little humor with you. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I want to talk a little bit this morning about evangelism. Get to know a little bit more about me and not only my preaching, but my desire for world evangelism, but not only abroad, but also right here in our backyard. And I want to preach this morning on the thought, seize the moment. Seize the moment. A young soldier and his commanding officer got on a train together. The only available seats were across from an attractive young woman who was traveling with her granddaughter. As they engaged in pleasant conversations, the soldier and the young woman kept eyeing one another. The attraction was obviously mutual. Suddenly, the train went into a tunnel and the car became pitch black. Immediately, two sounds were heard. The smack of a kiss and the whack of a slap across the face. The grandmother thought, I can't believe he kissed my granddaughter, but I am so glad she gave him the slap that he deserved. The commanding officer thought, I don't blame the boy for kissing the girl, but it's a shame that she missed his face and hit me instead. The young girl thought, I am glad he kissed me, but I wish my grandmother had not slapped him for doing it. Young people, teenagers, young people. In this story, the actors are 35 years old and older, okay? As the train broke into sunlight, coming out of the darkness, the soldier could not wipe the smile off his face. He had just seized the opportunity to kiss a pretty girl and to slap his commanding officer and got away with both of them. Now, that young soldier knew how to seize the moment. You know, and we live in a world today that God gives us opportunities sometimes that we don't realize he's giving us. Sometimes our spiritual eyes are not open to what God puts before us. Let me give you a couple examples. How many have ever prayed for rain? Come on, be honest. Now, put your hands down. Now, how many of you left the house with an umbrella after you prayed for rain? I mean, that's the kind of faith that we should have. You pray for rain, so expect a monsoon. Take that umbrella. If God sends rain, praise the Lord. If not, here's another one. How often we've asked the Lord, Lord, give me an opportunity to witness to someone today. We've all done that. And how many times have we missed it when we stepped on an elevator and the doors closed and we have a captive audience? How many times do we pull up to the gas station, and don't like to do it here with these high prices, but we pull up, and especially that guy across or gal across from us pulls up in one of those big gas-guzzling SUVs. You've got a good 12 minutes, if they're on empty, to witness. I know because I've timed it. You've got ample opportunity to witness. And most of the time, if they've been waiting in line like they'd have to do at Costco and at Sam's, they're not going to cut it off just because you're telling them about Jesus. They're going to finish. So you have an opportunity to share your faith. Now, don't be belligerent, don't be ugly, but be friendly. God gives us opportunities so often, but how often do we recognize it and seize the moment and take the opportunity in witnessing and telling others about Christ or inviting them to church? If you're here today for the first time or here for the first time in a long time or you're snowbirds or you're the first time that you've been here, as I mentioned, we've been here about 8 weeks. I preached all services last week. I will be this week again. I'm happy to talk to you. If you have any questions, I just want to encourage you to hang around. If you're visiting for the first time and looking for a church, there's nothing worse in the world than church shopping. Let me encourage you to hang around, to stick around. Give us another visit or two before you make a decision. If you have your Bibles there, open to Luke chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. And just a quick note, you continue to pray for me. I have discovered which allergy medicine does not work so far. Still looking for that one that does, but it's my right eye is still giving me a little bit of a problem, but it's much better than it was in previous weeks. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other side of the ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which were taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Darrell, if you don't mind, would you stand and ask God's blessings upon the preaching and give me here a moment, hear myself. Go ahead, brother. Thank you so much. Amen. This morning, it's an evangelistic type message, and I just want to challenge you to seize a moment in reaching more here in Maricopa County for the cause of Christ. Whether you live in the Buckeye area, Avondale, Goodyear, anywhere in the surrounding area, this is our harvest field. This is where we are to reach out and to reach others for Christ. You see, it would be completely wrong for us to send money and prayers to missionaries to go spread the gospel somewhere else when we're not willing to do what we've asked them to do abroad right here in our backyard. In other words, to set the example. And that's how we reach others. I was talking to a gentleman this morning, so to protect the innocent, I won't use names, but made the comment about how he used to go to a larger church. And he found himself really not fitting in. He's decided to come here and visit. He said right away, people were so friendly, I met four people within the first few minutes of walking in the door. That's friendliness. But that friendliness and greeting visitors and greeting folks when they come in should also carry over into our everyday life at the Sam's, at the Walmart, at the Fry's, at the Costco, wherever you may go, and talking to people. Let me challenge you, encourage you to go out and make it a point when you go shopping. I'm going to do my best today to make a friend. I'm going to show myself friendly and be kind to someone. I'm going to call out someone's name two or three times because I'm going to talk to them long enough to use their name. And then somewhere along the way, hopefully ask them, hey, do you go to church anywhere? And take the opportunity to invite them to church. If they go somewhere, ask where they go and get an idea of what they believe or what their background is. Say, Lord, help me to seize the opportunity in telling other people about Christ. Notice with me in verse number 3 and 4, the command. And he entered one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when they had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Here we see the command. And the few phrases here in verse 3 and 4 was thrust out a little from the land, launch out into the deep, and then let down or to throw out your nets for a draught. And dear friends, we need to understand and realize that God has given us a command as believers to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To go into highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Somebody asked today, are we still as Christians waiting around in the kiddie pool? Are we taking the have we taken the command of the Lord and launched out into the deep? That place of the deep I'm referring to is maybe that place you have never went before. Maybe it's tithing or giving for the first time. Maybe it's adding that extra night of service or Sunday or Wednesday night to your program and being faithful. Maybe it's witnessing and telling other people about Christ. That place of the unknown. Now think about it for a moment. How many Navy people do we have this morning? You got at least one, a couple ago. All right. Now, they didn't have the large vessels. Now, this is a little Douglas theology. Bear with me. They didn't have the large vessels that they do today. They had a lot of rowing, a little bit of a sail, but not the large vessels. So more likely than not, most of their fishing was closer to the edge, maybe not quite so far out, especially when the wind was tempestuous. So maybe when he told them to launch out into the deep, they were going to the place of the unknown. Maybe somewhere where they had never fished before. Somewhere in our Christian life and God's command, we need to step out of our comfort zone and take on some tasks or things that maybe we've never done before. This past week, I had the privilege of going on the website and looking at a church that I pastored when we were overseas in Germany, the military church. And I went through and noticed on the new website, it looks great, it looks sharp. And I noticed it had a tab on the one side of teachers and workers in the church. And I clicked on one of the tabs and it dropped down. And I saw a name of a gentleman, Miss Michelle, you're hearing this for the first time, I forgot to tell you, of someone teaching the men's class that was attending when we were there, but yet his thoughts were, preacher, I don't know that I can do that. Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm ready to step out that deep. Pastor, some things in my life I need to straighten out, but I really want to serve the Lord. Now, I'm going back 4.5 years, and Brother Dickey is teaching the adult men's Sunday school class. God urged and talked to his heart that somewhere along the way with their new pastor, he has stepped out by faith and he's teaching that class. I have no doubt that he's doing a good job because he's a very amiable person. He's very friendly, caring, and when he talks to you, you have his undivided attention because he cares about people. And I think that's what God wants us to do in that command. He says to cast out a little from the land. And then he says to launch out into the deep, kind of warming them up to the aspect. And then he tells them to cast down. I don't have time this morning, but if you look in your Bibles, the Lord says to cast your nets, plural. But Peter, who had been fishing all night, almost sarcastically says, Lord, we've been fishing all night. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my net. Singular. Well, I don't know about you folks. I can't imagine how much fish they'd have caught if all the nets had went out. They had trouble with just the one. But guess what? That's no big problem for our Savior. He would have handled it fine if they'd have cast all the nets. But the point I want to make here, I wonder how often just a handful of people doing the majority of the work in our churches. How much more do we need to ask ourselves, hey, what can I do? How can I be involved? Lord, how could you use me in reaching others for Christ? Lord, I know I have the command, but what is it for me? For them, we'll get to a little later, it was not only to do that, but they were to forsake their ships, their vessels, their equipment, and they were to go and be fishers of men. And we'll get to that in just a moment. I really believe with all of my heart that we each have a call, an opportunity of service that God has given each and every one of us. Uniquely different. But there's one command that we all have, and that is to tell others about Christ. To be faithful. To do what you can in getting the word out. I'd imagine here in this room, I won't take the time, but I would imagine if we took the time to go through, there's probably folks here this morning that heard the gospel a multitude of times before they ever trusted Christ. I had the privilege of hearing it several times as a young boy in trusting Christ. I've met others that heard the gospel hundreds of times before they ever got saved. Could you imagine those outside these walls this morning? There are some that actually have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Yes, it's on the radio. Yes, it's on the television. Yes, we have churches all over the place. And down south where we came from earlier before moving here from Maryland, it seems like there was a used car lot and a Baptist church on every corner. But yet there's still people because they turn the channel, they turn it off, they don't want to listen, no thank you, and they close the door. They have never heard a complete presentation of the gospel. We need to do our part to make ourselves friendly. Sometimes we just have to make an acquaintance, a friend, before we ever can get them to realize their need for the Savior. Let's don't be such in a hurry to say, well, they don't want to listen, and then abandon them and go to the next one. We can still go to the next one, but we can show ourselves friendly. I've got people here at Walmart at Avondale and at Walmart over in Buckeye, because we've been to both, and some other stores. And when I wear my Tennessee hoodie, zip up, we've had some cool weather. And by the way, I've got a bone to pick with some of you Arizonians. Before I moved here, I was told it was sunny and warm all the time. It's done nothing but rain since I got here. So I'm wearing my coat and I'm zipping it up. I've got my Tennessee hat on. I've got my Tennessee hoodie on. And everyone that I've run into, it's unbelievable. If they're from Tennessee, they come over and say, hey, you from Tennessee? I'm from Tennessee. I'm from Nashville. I'm from Memphis. I'm from Knoxville. And man, I have a wide open opportunity right then to start talking to people. because they get excited about things. In fact, one of our ladies from Wisconsin or somewhere up in that area, the other day when we were moving furniture, said, look at there on that dolly, it says Milwaukee. Well, there's a conversation right there that could be had as well. Sometimes we don't seize the moment and take the opportunity when God gives us a chance to share our faith or to show ourselves friendly. God has given us the command. And I'm going to move on, but let me ask you, where are you at in your Christian faith? Cast off a little from the land? Or have you launched out into the deep in preparation for telling others and catching, so to say, others for the cause of Christ? The command. Where are we at? Each of us have to make our own evaluation, because you and the Holy Spirit know where you are today, know where you have been in the future, and knows where you need to be tomorrow. Where are we at in our walk and our faith? The command. Number two, the call. The call to service in verse number 10. In verse number 10, he tells them, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I want you to notice that phrase there in verse 10, fear not. Why did he say that? Because maybe Peter was a little afraid. He knows. And dear friends, guess what? Sometimes we get a little intimidated. I remember the first time that I knew that I needed to be a witness. I knew that when the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart at 17 years of age, I was 17 years old before I ever led anyone to Christ. If I had been challenged, I've been brought up in a good church, I knew how to sow win, I knew where to go in my Bible, I knew all things how to do it. I was just too afraid. And the Holy Spirit pricked my heart that night as Max, a friend of mine from high school, we played baseball together, came to church. Church was almost over, the invitation was given, and I cheated, preacher. I peeked a little bit, and I noticed that Max's hand went up for salvation. He didn't go forward, he didn't respond to the invitation, but as soon as church was over, and we talked a little while, we went out in the parking lot, got ready to go, started my car, checked my mirrors, checked in reverse, getting ready to back out my little Toyota Corolla, and the Holy Spirit just reminded me of what I promised him. I put it back in first, turned off the ignition, I turned to Max and said, Max, please forgive me, but I noticed that you raised your hand during the invitation. Could I take my Bible and tell you how to know that you can be saved? And Mike looked at me and began to weep. He says, I sure wish you would. I got to lead him to Jesus, my baseball buddy. Someone I played ball with and had never taken an opportunity to invite him to church or do anything until that week. And guess what? He said yes. And because he said yes, I got to lead him to the Lord on the Sunday night after church. Dear friends, it is a little intimidating. It can be fearful, but it's just like riding a bike. Once you learn how, you never forget. Once you get those training wheels kicked off and on your way, you'll enjoy in service and ministering for the Lord. Notice also what he said, not only fear not, he says, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, I decided to do a little bit of a word study on that word catch. When I study and prepare for sermons, I like to look at the Greek and the Hebrew or the Aramaic and do some of the word studies on the verbs or the adjectives, because I know sometimes some words have much deeper meanings or richer meanings. And I looked up that word catch, and it comes from the word zogreho. Now, my pronunciation may be wrong, but it means to catch alive or to catch for life. Think about that, to catch alive or to catch for life. When they were catching fish, they were doomed to die and be in the frying pan. But here he says, thou shalt catch men, to catch them alive or to catch them for life. And dear friends, when you trust Jesus, it's for life. It's so interesting how the Lord and why he used the verbiage that he used. Dear friends, the call is the same for us. We are to reach the souls of men. We are to be soul winners or missionaries or evangelists in our community. I quoted Mark 16:15 earlier. We had that responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And even though there are some that have never heard, there are those who need to hear it again and again and again. But they also need to see it in us. They need to recognize it in our life, in our walk, in our conversation, and how we handle things. Dear friends, when we go out into the world, are we saying, Lord, help me today to catch some men alive. Help me to catch some men and young women and young people for life, that they may know Christ. You know, it's amazing to me, and I know you agree with me, how God answers prayers. But how often we say, Lord, give me an opportunity this week to open your word and introduce them to Jesus. Dear friends, that's part of the command. The command and then the call. He is calling all of us to do our part. And now verse number 11. The call to service. Not only the command, the call to service, but the response to the call. And here's where the problem is the response to the call of how many are really ready and willing to go and do what they can. Verse number 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Here we see in our passage of scripture that they returned to land. And by the way, where are the men at? They're on land. They left the water, they left the fish, they returned to land. That's where men are. That's where families are. They were called to catch men. And as we read through the Gospels, they did. They weren't always well received, but they went as the Lord commanded them on that call, and they responded. And dear friends, they forsook all. Dear friends, when they had brought their ships to land, instead of going to the market with their fish, they forsook all and followed him. I'm not asking anyone today to give up everything to follow the Lord. But as we follow the culture and the time frame and the teaching of Christ, these men made a decision to become fishermen, to become fishers of men. And they made a decision and they walked away basically from the life that they had as fishermen to serve the Lord full time. God doesn't call everyone to be a pastor. God doesn't call everyone to be a missionary or evangelist or the spouse of any of those occupations. There are some, we need good, godly lawyers and doctors and dentists and electricians and pipe fitters, and the list goes on and on. We need all of them. But the key is, as we serve in our occupation and provide for our family, saying, Lord, how can I serve you as I go? How can I serve you on the job? How can I make a difference? How can I do more for Christ? And sometimes I think we miss this aspect of the command and the call where we don't respond in the way we should. Let me share a story with you, and I'll get back and we'll finish up in a few minutes. Joseph Gray was a young soldier in our church in Germany. Joseph and Naomi, they were fresh out of high school, maybe a little older, early in their 20s. Joe had been a nurse before going in the military. Not quite sure why he went. May have been the patriotic thing. But a young couple came into our church. She had only been in a home church her whole life. Brought up, trusted Christ, was baptized, but mostly just in smaller home group, home churches. He was from a large non-denominational church, had trusted Christ and followed the Lord in believers' baptism. And we had we had went through all that was needed on their salvation and their baptism and that being scripture and what their background was. They were from Massachusetts. Joe had a strong northern accent, except when he sang. He had a twang like a southern gospel or country music type singer when he sang, and he sang out of the hymn book. And boy, could that boy sing. But Joe was very quiet and very reserved. He was an MP in the military for the Army. But Joe was responsible for bringing more people to church in the time that he was there than any other member that we had had. Some of them even combined. It seemed like every week he had MP sitting with him or other people that he met in church. And so sometime I asked a fellow, I said, well, how long did it take you to get Joe to get you to come to church? He said, well, he only asked me once or twice and I came. So out of curiosity, I said, well, you've never been to church in your life. I said, why did you come? He said, because of the life that he lived. When he invited me to church, I knew that he meant business, he served God, his testimony on the job, his behavior, how he treated others. His faith was real, and I wanted to go find out more about his faith. Some of those young MPs got saved. In fact, when they deployed every year, we had a rotation where the combat aviation deployed. He would get some of those guys to come to church before they deployed. He'd say, folks, if you guys will come to church and you will come in and join me, I'll tell Miss Michelle, she'll fix you a big lunch with cornbread and biscuits and gravy, and preacher will pray with us and for us before we get deployed. He let Miss Michelle know there's times she'd be feeding 15, 20 single soldiers in their 20s for lunch. But those MPs would come for the meal and for the prayer before they deploy, but they would get the gospel when they walked in the door. Many of those MPs trusted Christ as their Savior. Some of those MPs that did not get saved there in our church, later I found out Joe led them to the Lord in Iraq. When things got ugly, when the bullets were flying, and they started thinking about eternal things, they would say, hey, Joe, remember you just telling me about spiritual things and about heaven and about hell? Man, things are getting pretty rough today. Can we talk a little bit more about that? And old Joe got to win some of those guys to the Lord. But if Joe walked to the back door and came in and sat down, now if he walked in the back door, I would have to apologize for him because he would disrupt the service because he would shout, "Hey, preacher!" Because that's what he did every time he saw me in public. But he would come in and sit down, and you would think he's one of the most quietest, meek men that you ever met. Here's the only difference between that is, when God opened the door and God called him to be a soul winner, to be a witness, he took it serious and he said, "Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I'm not sure if I can do it, but Lord, I'll do what I can when you open the door." And he did it in a quiet, meek spirit each and every time that is responsible for many soldiers trusting Christ as their personal Savior. He took the command, he took the call very serious. Today, Joe and Naomi are living still up north in Massachusetts. They're very much involved in their church. They've got a family now of three. When the doctor said they would have no children, we prayed that they would have children. They've got three now. Just excited about serving and living for the Lord. It's that response to the call. Turn to land where men were. They forsook all. They followed him. And dear friends, they just didn't follow. They forsook and they followed. They were ready to follow Christ and serve him as he saw fit to use them. Each of us have different talents. Nobody would choose me to stand and lead the music unless y'all sang loud and they turned off my mic. That's not in my wheelhouse. Many of you can sing and do well. My wife would tell me 100 times, she used to tease me and says, she doesn't have $1 million. She'd say, "Sweetheart, I got $1 million here. If you'll hit this tune, I'll give it to you." Of course, she didn't have the million. I couldn't hit it anyway. But I have led the music in our church when we had nobody else. I sing scripturally, Pastor. I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But some of you have beautiful voices. Some of you have what we call down south the gift of gab. You've never met a stranger. When you walk in the room, things kind of liven up because you're that sparky, sanguine. There's others of you that are a little more phlegmatic, a little more reserved, a very, very, very sharp, very wise, a lot of wisdom, and you approach it in a different way. God uses both. We just make ourselves available. And you'd be surprised who God puts on our path that meets our personalities that we can reach for Christ. I had many guys I had witnessed to and tried to get them into church through the years of ministry that I could not reach, but I wouldn't give up on them. I would find someone else in the church. I'd find out someone else, "Hey, would you go ask old Bob over there if he wants to have breakfast with you tomorrow?" He said, "Now make sure you pay for it, but invite him to breakfast and see if you can't witness to him." Because I knew maybe their personalities would line up just a little better. They had something in common in their life that would strike up a conversation. See, the preacher can't win them all. Nor should you expect them to. But working together, what could we do in Maricopa County? If my God is no respecter of persons, and he refers in the Gospels and in the book of Acts how the world was turned upside down for Christ, I think if the Lord can turn up the world upside down during that time, he can turn it upside down Maricopa County. And he can use one, he can use five, he can use 10, he could use 100, he can use as many that will surrender themselves to be used. So as we come to a close this morning, let me ask that simple question, dear church member. How is the outreach of Harvest Baptist? How are you involved in the outreach of Harvest Baptist? Are you doing your part? Is your personal involvement the best that it can be? See, witnessing is an opportunity to seize the moment in reaching the world for Christ. What will be your response to the call? Will you forsake all? In other words, the trivial things that keep you busy and give up a little time just to be a witness. What will your response to the call be? Miss Michelle teases me quite a bit. And it's kind of, I tease her too. I get to do it from up here. She has to do it from another place. I get to tease her here from the podium. But when Michelle sends me to the store for a gallon of milk, I've mentioned this to a few people before, she never knows how long I'm going to be away. Now, she needs it right away. She'll say, "Sweetheart, don't make any friends. I really need you to get back. I've already started. I'm short on buttermilk. I need to finish these biscuits. Don't make any friends. Go get the buttermilk. Come back, and you go back out if you need to." Because I have made a commitment to the Lord that I'm going to do my best unless I'm on a time schedule. I'm not going to go to any store, any place, if I can't take an opportunity to make a friend, to talk to someone, to invite to the church. Hey, the worst case scenario, they say no. But what about the best case scenario? They say yes and they trust Christ when they come to church. Or they ask you to tell them about the Lord right there. Will we seize the moment? Here we are coming to the end of January in the new year of 2023. We ask the Lord, Lord, help me to seize the moment. Me. Help me and my family to seize the moment. Father, help me and my church family to seize the moment, to take the opportunity that you put in front of us and then look for the opportunities. I love our 8 grandchildren. And one thing I love and enjoy doing them is going places and doing things. And one thing that's a lot of fun, just off the top of my head, is when the Easter season comes around and they want to hide the Easter eggs. And of course, I like to use the plastic ones because they never find them all and they rot and they smell. But you hide the plastic ones, you have little treats in them, they go out. And those kids look, they get a little competitive. We have to talk to the older ones to slow down, let the little guys find a few as well. But they go out urgently looking for those eggs. I mean, they have just got to find them. Dear friends, let's look and ask ourselves, Lord, there's lost souls in our community. We don't know who they are. We don't know which ones love you, which ones don't, which ones have never heard. But Father, if you will bring them into my path, I'll do my best to bring them to you. Father, you bring them to me, and I will point them to you. And I believe if we'll say that little prayer and look for opportunities, I think we'll be surprised what our Heavenly Father can do in helping us reach Maricopa County, Arizona, America, and around the world just one day, one soul at a time. Might be a little inconvenient, might be stepping out of your comfort zone, but you might just like it. Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I'm going to ask Michelle to begin playing in just a moment and playing the piano. And I'm going to have a word of prayer and I'm going to ask a few questions. But with heads bowed and eyes closed and no one's looking around for a moment, I don't say this for you to boast me up or anything. I just simply put, let's just be honest with me. I'm not going to call your name. I want to pray with you as you pray for me. But you'd raise your hand this morning and say, Preacher, I needed that message. I needed that reminder. I can do more. And by God's help, I'm going to try to do more in the coming days. Would you pray for me? I know my hand's up. Anyone else would join me? I see many hands across the auditorium. Why not? Let's just make this a commitment. And come to the altar and pray, or where you stand and pray, and say, Lord, help me. One more question as Michelle gets ready to play. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, if you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know if you would die today that you go to heaven, maybe you lift up your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I would go to heaven, but I would like to know, would you pray for me? No one will come to you. I will not call you or pull you aside. I just want to pray for you and talk to you later if you would like to. Anybody like that at all? Preacher, pray for me. I'm just not sure that I'm saved. Anyone at all? I see no hands, so I'm going to bow my head and pray as the panelist plays. I'm going to ask you to pray where you stand or here at an altar. You do what God directs you to do. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and the blessings and the joy of service. I pray the word of God, Father, will go forth, Father, and speak to the hearts and minds of your people this morning. Lord, help us, Lord, starting with this preacher, to make a decision. I want to do more. I want to be a little friendlier. I want to share my faith. I want to make a difference in the life of others. Father, help us to respond to the call that we might catch men alive, that we might catch men forever. Father, help us to make a difference, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed just for a moment. As our pianist plays, where you stand or here at an altar, if God has put